Welcome, Toasties, to Pyro Toasty Talks. This is Season 2, Episode 5. And today we've got something extra special for you Zona heads out there. We're going to be talking to Zona about her piece that is going in the Mint Museum titled Her Sovereignty. And she's going to be talking to us about the process and some of the techniques that she used to create this very unique piece that utilizes not just pyrography, but a few other techniques that maybe you're familiar with, maybe you're not so comfortable with, but I think it's going to be an interesting discussion. So, hello, Zona.
Hi.
And hello, David and Renee across the country.
Hey. Howdy.
I'm going to, because it would be really weird for me to interview Zona, since I have been witness to the entire process of creating this beast of a art project, I would like to turn it over to David and Renee to start us off with the barrage of questions.
Okay. Well, I will get started because I have questions, and I'm sure other people out there have questions too. So you're working on this piece, and it's done. Currently, it's done.
It is done. It is wrapped up, pool noodles, bubble wrap, and stuff and all.
Is it at the museum? Have you delivered it yet?
It is not. Okay. It was originally supposed to be delivered today, but I was concerned because it is technically it's technically a 3D piece.
Yeah.
It's technically a 3D piece because it is stacked pieces of wood.
So when do you deliver it to the museum for the show?
It is going to be delivered tomorrow.
Ooh.
After 11 o'clock.
Ooh, so exciting. Oh, okay.
I know. Well, remember I had this conversation and I guess we were talking about, I was having a little bit of anxiety about, you know, because their process on drop-off, it, especially with it being in the Mint and being that it was in Uptown in where the Mint is, it's literally in the heart of Charlotte, and it's closed on Mondays, so it was going to be like literally it's what they called a drive-by drop-off. So it was like park the car, jump out of the car, drop off your piece, and you're out, right?
Yeah.
And normally, what I like about when we drop off our pieces is that like you kind of get to park, you get to drop off your piece, you get to schmooze for a few minutes, you might get to like peek at some of the other artwork before they put it up on the wall, so you kind of get to schmooze with whatever artist hangs out for a few minutes, you get a little peek at the other art that's there, you get to talk to some of the artists, you get to talk for a few minutes. With this one, it was, you don't even get to come upstairs, drop and go, right? And because it is a 3D piece, and I was having great anxiety about the care of it. Not that I don't trust them. It's just, I wanted to make sure that it got put up on the wall.
Properly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I remember because I was telling you about it. I was just like, I'm just concerned.
Yeah.
About it and everything. So I did email them because I did put, I used pool noodles to.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I used pool noodles to protect the frame because I was like, how am I going to protect this frame from scratches and dents?
Yeah.
As I get it, as I bring it. So I wrote my name and please do not discard on the noodles.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was just like, I didn't know if they were going to be able to keep it and like, how was I going to pick it up afterwards? So I emailed them and I spoke to the coordinators and long story short, they were like, hey, 3D art is being dropped off tomorrow instead. Do you want me to
keep
it? I was like, absolutely.
Got it. Okay.
They were like, you can park the car and come upstairs with your piece.
Oh, there you go.
And unpack it yourself.
Well, that's what you wanted anyway.
Yes, I know. And I was like, thank God.
Yeah, okay.
My anxiety went from 100 to 10.
That's so good.
In like one sentence.
By the way, finding pool noodles outside of the summer is not easy. We like looked all over, and apparently when pool noodles are not in season, nobody carries them. And if you want to buy them online, they're hella expensive.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculously
expensive. I went to Walmart yesterday. Yesterday was Easter Sunday. I went to Walmart on Easter Sunday, and they were just starting to put all of the pool stuff out, and they had one big box of these teal pool noodles. So I just, I lucked out. Otherwise, I don't know what we would have done.
Yeah.
So I assume, since we're recording this in the past and people are listening to it in our future, that you guys will have posted some pictures of her sovereignty by now.
Yes.
But just so people listening have a scale, like, exactly how big is this piece? And, like, describe the physical construction a little bit, because you've said stacked wood, and I just want to make sure people are...
Yeah, give us a physical visual description so we can visualize this piece with you.
Yeah, do it now, on the spot.
Do it!
With the frame, she measures 45 inches wide by 35 inches tall with the frame.
So like 3.5 feet, 3 feet?
Give or take.
Give or take.
Sure.
Give or
take. Okay.
The frame is not that big. It's like the frame is an inch and a half wide.
Okay.
So give or take. So she's
but that's not big. That's a huge piece.
She is. She's big. She's not the biggest piece that I've done, but she is so intricate. Essentially, she is maple plywood. It's a maple plywood back piece. And what I did was I used Bernie. He is our laser cutter.
So we have a laser engraver. It is a Focus. Focus, it's spelled really weird. A Focus, it was a 20-watt, but it's been upgraded to a 40-watt laser engraver that we use that can cut through about, what, a quarter of an inch of wood?
Yes, up to a quarter.
Yeah, we call him Bernie, and he is our intern.
Yes, he is our intern.
Okay.
And I used Bernie to cut out, I call it stickers, because that is like the best thing that I could use to describe it. Kind of like color forms. I don't know. I might be dating myself here, but like color forms. Stickers. Mm-hmm. That's the best way I can describe it. And I cut out shapes, and I burned onto the shapes flowers and the main focus pieces, and I burned onto it and detailed it and colored it. And then I stacked the pieces on top of each other. Like I made a, for instance, I did a jasmine flower and I cut the leaves. One was one piece, and then I did the flowers themselves was another piece, and I stacked those two pieces on top of each other.
Mm-hmm. So the best way I can think to describe this to someone not looking at it is like that Cricut laser paper cut kind of art, where it might be like a shadow box frame, and yes, it's a scene with all these different layers of cut paper, except wood.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
How are they held together? Because it looks almost like they have standoffs underneath of them. Like it looks like there's a bigger gap than just the thickness of the wood.
It is. I cut spacers. And I used plywood, and I cut out spacers. I cut out 1-inch squares, and I stacked the 1-inch squares, and I used 1/8 plywood squares, and I just stacked them on top of each other to create towers, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it gives this cool illusion of depth.
It's, yes.
Well, I mean, it's not even really an illusion, because it's actual depth.
Okay, so what is the design here? What are you giving depth? When you say you give it depth, you're talking about flowers, but like what is this piece? Or I guess the subject matter.
I called it her sovereignty because the whole concept of the piece is centered around a woman's choice.
Mm-hmm.
A woman's choice to do what she wants with her, with herself. Because it's not just about her body, it's about her mind and her soul, her heart, and her reproductive rights.
Okay.
That's why there are three main points to it. It's her brain, which is her mind. Mm-hmm. It's her heart. And it's her reproductive rights.
Right.
She should have the choice to do what she wants. I believe that a woman should have the right to do with it as she chooses. I think every woman should have that right. Every person should have the right to make that choice. And no one else should be able to demand mm-hmm. what someone should do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Just to bring it back to the piece. So the design is that each section of the piece is focused on one part of a woman, right? Her brain, her heart, her reproductive organs, and then you kind of layered flowers on top of them, right? Do you want to kind of explain how that's gonna look?
Yes. Like, for instance, with her mind, it is a profile view of a woman's head, and I cut out the head was one sticker, and then I cut out a brain, a detailed mm-hmm. Piece of the brain. And then I cut out flowers that are actually very specific to the brain, like the jasmine. If you look up what jasmine flowers represent, mm-hmm. they actually represent the mind.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. The daisies represent freedom.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're little Easter eggs. I mean, I didn't choose the flowers on these pieces just because I liked lilies and daisies.
Yeah.
I chose them very specifically. Even the colors were very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, like with the jasmine flowers, I did the leaves were one layer, the flowers were another layer. And for instance, when you look at her, it looks like a lei around her head, like a crown. It's a crown of flowers. Mm-hmm. But it's not just a crown. It's a layered crown of flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like with depth, because a crown isn't just flowers strung together. It's layered. It's got different layers. So when you look at the crown, it's you know, flowers in front of and behind.
Mm-hmm.
So it has depth. And that's why it's a 3D piece.
Right.
Okay.
You know, it's not just flat. Yeah. Like it's one on top of the other. It's the piece is not just flat against the backboard. It's a little bit above it. There's natural shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just that. When it comes to the piece with the heart, I cut out the heart itself. That is raised above the centerpiece of the woman who's holding, she's framing the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the flowers also represent certain things of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure that, because I think it may not be clear to everyone listening, when we say that we cut out the stickers, what we're referring to as the stickers, those are just blank pieces of flat stock that are cut into an outline of a flower or an outline of a brain. All of the actual imagery on the wood is done using traditional pyrography. So this is what I would think is a mixed media piece, because
yes.
It's not using one single technique. It's using, and this is one of the things that I personally really liked about this piece, was that I know a lot of pyrographers are very much averse to laser cutters because
they feel like they're coming for your jobs.
and I think that what we've done here is we've kind of turned it on its head a little bit, and we've taken the laser cutter and used it for just a tool to help us to give a different platform for her to do her pyrography, which I think is super cool, because it kind of blends these two disparate medias into one cohesive piece. I think it's kind of cool. I don't know. Some people may still feel like it's not quote unquote pure, but I think that, you know, it's a really good use of two very different techniques to make something just really unique.
I chose to use the tools that I had. Smarter, not harder.
So, like, okay, I feel like a good way to describe it for maybe someone who's not seeing it visually in their head, it's like if you go to the craft store or whatever at Christmas time, you're going to find cutouts of, like, snowmen and snowflakes and stuff or whatever in the wood section that you can, like, bring to Sunday school for the kids to paint. You know, it's like a cutout mm-hmm. shape of a snowman or whatever. Or like a cookie cutter. You have a cookie cutter and you can cut out a sugar cookie, but then you decorate the sugar cookie with whatever you want your snowman to look like. That's basically what you did, because you can't go to the store and get, like, a brain cutout. You can't go to the store and get Daisy cutouts. So you created the cutout shapes and then burned the design on the cutout shape. And then you had a shape that matched exactly what you were going to burn on it.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So when you say that she had a shape that she was going to burn directly on it, just to clarify, so that was something that she did herself in Procreate. What she did was she took the Procreate drawings that she made, converted them into SVGs, and then imported them into the laser cutter software, which is called Lightburn. She imported that into Lightburn and then used that as the path to cut the wood, and then she had a cutout that exactly matched the image that she wanted to burn into the wood that she had created on Procreate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like the whole thing with the laser, I feel like the laser is fine in this situation because it's not taking away from your pyrography at all. If anything, it is just replacing an element of woodworking, because in theory, you could get thin wood and cut out a shape of a brain or flowers on a scroll saw. Like, mm-hmm. we have a scroll saw. That's something we could do, but it would take us for freaking ever to cut out all of these intricate things. So basically, you're just replacing the job of a scroll saw and then doing your pyrography on it. So, like, if anyone comes at you with the argument of, well, the laser burner, that's not, whatever. Like, no, it's not even applicable in this situation.
If I knew how to use a scroll saw, that would be lovely. But I also know that to learn how to use the scroll saw.
Oh, yeah.
To do it like that. Okay, we're talking years to learn how to use it.
Yeah, it's an art form. It's a very...
It is. Oh, it is.
It's a very precise woodworking tool. So by using the laser to do that for you, as someone who's not specifically a woodworker, it just takes that whole step and allows you to actually do the art form that you want to do.
The one that I know how to do.
Yeah, because you're not... piece to be ambitious about woodworking. You did this piece to be ambitious about pyrography.
I would never, ever claim to be a woodworker. I mean, I would love to learn how to, but I am not foolish enough, nor would I ever, ever, ever claim to be a woodworker.
Interesting side note, when we were at the Southern Christmas show last year, there is a guy who works out of there with a scroll saw. Mm-hmm. He's got a booth. I guess he rents the same booth every year, and he does ornaments of people's names that look like icicles. Mm-hmm. And the man is a machine. He cuts so cool. these with the scroll saw faster than the laser engraver does.
He was very entertaining. He was really entertaining because he was sitting there looking at us, talking to us while he was doing it, and I'm like,
Sir,
you want to watch what you're doing while you're talking to us? Exactly. And he's just like, like looking at us for like 5 seconds, looking down for 1 second, and I'm like, please watch what you're doing so you don't lose a finger.
That's how I feel like when people are talking. Like in a movie and there's a driving scene and the driver's driving the car, but they're looking at the passenger. Like, and that stresses me out in the movie. I'm like, look at the road. This is so unrealistic. You're not looking at the road.
You're killing me.
That's all.
Well, yeah. Back to our friend with the scroll saw. So to further your point, what he does is takes a tremendous amount of skill and technique, and I wouldn't trust a laser burner to do that for me because he is doing something that's extremely detailed and extremely intricate. But I think
it's such a craft.
It really is. Yeah. No. My comparison to the laser isn't to like diminish the work or the skill of a scroll saw artist. It's just that's the closest thing that I can think of to compare is like, how would you, like, where would you even go to get shapes of wood like this? Like, you have to make them yourself or hire someone to make them for you. So,
yeah.
Okay, so you said this piece, like, you say it's one piece, but then you said it has three sections. What do you mean by that? Like, is it, it's not like a triptych of three separate pieces that go together. No. It's one giant piece with three.
It is, yes.
Okay.
My original concept was that it was going to be, think literally like a gallery. So it was my original concept idea when I was first envisioning it would have been three framed pieces that would be hung together.
Okay.
But then I was told that I couldn't have that. I was not going to be allowed to have that particular idea.
Okay. Per the museum.
Per the rules, facility. Yes, we'll go with the facilitators.
Okay. So they just wanted you to have one piece. Okay. So
yes,
is it like you open a textbook of anatomy and you see like a skeleton in vertical format? It's not like that though. It's not like here's the head, here's the torso, here's the. It's not like a full female body.
No, it is horizontally. It's the orientation is horizontal. And it is, the main piece is in the middle. It is a female, and it's a line drawing in the middle of a woman. And she is, basically it's a line drawing in silhouette of a front-facing woman. And she is highlighting, holding the heart. She is showing off the heart piece.
Okay.
With her hand.
In the center.
In the center. Off to the, if you were looking at it head on, off to the left-hand side is where the profile of the head would be, but it's kind of higher up.
Okay, overlapping kind of.
Yes, yeah. It is overlapping higher up, so it would be the upper left-hand corner.
Mm-hmm.
Is where the head is, where the head sticker would be. And then the female reproductive is on the lower left-hand corner.
Right-hand
on
corner.
The opposite side. Yes, right-hand corner. I'm sorry. The other left-hand.
Also overlapping.
Yes. So it's kind of like in a diagonal. Mm-hmm. If you were to look at it, it is in a diagonal orientation.
And then it has these different florals kind of like enveloping around the body parts, representing those respective body parts.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yes.
Okay.
And you used the Prismacolors, right? You used Prismacolors and foil.
Yes. That was going to be my next question was, okay, so how did you color them? Because you said you added color.
I did. But David had a question.
Mm-hmm.
Answer the color question first. I want to move past the physical construction and into like the design process. But we can answer the color question first.
Okay. I did use a number of things to color. I did use mostly my Prismacolor pencil, colored pencils. I did use gold foil and gold leaf to highlight the main pieces, like to outline the heart, the brain, and the female reproductive system. I used handmade watercolors also to do highlighting.
Use gel pen at all? I usually use gel pen for like white highlights.
I didn't actually use any white highlights.
Ooh, okay.
I didn't because it would have been too stark.
Hmm.
Yeah, I didn't actually. I did use a lot of chrome and glitter. I tried to use like subtle.
Very nice. Okay.
If I remember correctly, Zona, you were kind of struggling with coming up with this piece as like a cohesive unit for a while. So I just wanted to know like a peek behind the artist's mind of, you know, we talked a little bit about you, what it means to you with regards to women being free in these three areas, but just a little bit more about why you chose this or, you know, how you came to the final design.
I think my biggest push for this piece was because of the climate of what's going on with politically.
Do you think of it as a protest piece?
It definitely has a statement to it.
Yes, it's definitely a statement. I guess I do see it as a protest piece. I do see it as a quiet protest piece.
Mm-hmm.
Spicy. I love this.
I generally try to stay away from it.
But for reasons, it speaks close to you. And
it does. Yeah.
I also think it's very subject to interpretation, right? I mean, it's not very prescriptive in how it's to be seen, how it's to be interpreted. You know, people can interpret it however they feel, however it moves them, which is a testament to a good piece of art, right? That it's not only saying one thing to one person. It's giving people the opportunity to really take it in and draw their own conclusions about what it means. But it is, I think, very clear that it is a woman's empowerment piece.
I mean, I've always been big on women's empowerment. I have been always been really big on people should be able to make their own choices and not be told what to do. Like, you should have the autonomy to do as you want to do. That's always been very, you know, big for me personally. And the whole concept of my choice being taken away from me, you know, like the whole concept, the unfairness of if I have a miscarriage, that I could be thrown in jail because I had a miscarriage, something that is actually completely out of my control.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just
is wild.
Why? That's putting it very nicely.
Yeah.
You know, and like, it is a protest for me, and it's a very subtle protest. I think of it as a very subtle protest because I think if you're going to make a big protest, not all protest has to be large. It doesn't always have to be loud. It doesn't always have to be loud and screaming in everybody's faces, because you know what? If you scream loud and long enough, you make people deaf and they stop hearing you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to be thoughtful and careful about what you say and who you say it to. And I think if you just start screaming to whoever and whenever, I think you're doing yourself an injustice, especially as a small business owner.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could be treading on very dangerous waters, especially in these times.
Mm-hmm.
And I know with a lot of things going on, I've noticed that there's a lot of women, especially in Charlotte, who are protesting loudly about women's rights.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really empowering to me. And I just feel like it's nice to be able to just kind of like quietly add to that,
mm-hmm.
and quietly protest along with them and not have to sit here and, you know, hold up that big old sign in front of Congress, because that's not my thing. That is not who I am.
Yeah.
But I can sit here and show that.
So if people want to see this piece, by the time this episode airs, it should be on display. Do you want to tell people where and for how long this piece is going to be on display at the Mint?
It is going to be on display in the Mint in Uptown Charlotte as part of the Guild of Charlotte Artists. The Gilding the Mint exhibit on the fifth floor from April 23rd to May 26th.
And we are going to have professional photos taken of the piece after we get it returned to us.
Yes.
And we are going to see if we can have prints made up of it so that we can sell prints for anybody who's not willing to spend the very hefty price tag that this piece is going to be on the market for.
The one with a, it has a comma in it.
As it should.
Yes. It has a comma in it. David, you should be proud.
I am proud. I thought this was a very ambitious piece, and it was,
It is.
I thought it was impressive to me that when you were trying to decide, it was almost like you had, somebody was like, here is a giant stage, and you had thought, well, I need to come up with something that's worth saying on a stage this big. And I thought that was an admirable thing to do.
You know, that's a very good way to put it. It really was like, it's interesting because when they were talking about the Mint, when I first heard about it, and I heard about it, I think way back in January, like they had made the announcement on the Guild and they said, listen, it's coming up. It's going to be a big piece. You're going to get this amount of space, 48 inches. Think. Start planning it. And I was just like, what? You're giving me this size? What do I want it to say? And I knew what I wanted it to be like. I knew that I wanted it to be about this. I just didn't know how I wanted to say it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how I wanted to put it together. And you're right. For a while, I just couldn't. It was very nebulous. It was very smoky. I didn't know how I wanted to put it together. And then it just, like, you know, me and Renee, I picked Renee's brain and we talked about it and it started coming together. And I spoke to Renee and I spoke to Brian and I spoke to some other people and some other women and I, you know, some women who knew me and were like on the same path and same concept as me. And the ideas and just became solidified. And when I finally had something more solid and I was able to start putting it together, and then I just was able to start putting the bricks in place. Mm-hmm. That was also really great.
There was also an exhibit over at the McCall Center in Charlotte, which is it's a renovated church that they use for art exhibits. Mm-hmm. And we went there to take a look at some of the pieces that they had. It was actually ironically called the show was called Sovereignty, and mm-hmm. All of the pieces were made by women about being women, and they ranged from, you know, very, you know, bold statements to just very unifying pieces that preached togetherness to ones that were, you know, very subtle. And I think that was probably a bit of an inspiration to some of the pieces that you saw there.
Yeah, some of them were really subtle. Some of them were really like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. We won't get into some of them on this podcast because...
Not on this episode, but there was one that I walked in and I was just like, now that is a piece. And I was all about that piece, but I was like, yeah.
So Mint Museum, it'll be on display from, what are those dates again?
April 23rd, which is the artist reception, to May 26th.
All right, and they'll be on our Instagram page We are going to post some pictures. We're posting some in-progress pictures right now. So
sneaky peeks.
You'll see those. By the time this airs, we should have pictures of the final piece up. I think that's it for today, right?
That's it for this episode.
All right. So, as always, thank you for listening. PyroToastyTalks.com. If you want to read more about us, if you want to buy some swag, we've got some t-shirts there for sale. Those help to fund the podcast. If you want to find us on the socials, it's David and Renee on Instagram and BZ_Furfur for Zona and I. And Pyro Toasty Talks on Instagram as well for the podcast. We've got a Discord. Check the website for that and feel free to join the discussion. Give your ideas for future topics and tell us if you like these spotlight pieces and if you want us to do more of those. With that, thanks everybody. Stay toasty.
Stay toasty.